You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. with Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Hopefully a busy afternoon of jumps racing. We should have action from Taunton, all being well, including the rescheduled Peterborough Chase, Grade 2 to look forward to on a Thursday. We've also got Warwick and Newcastle, providing they pass their inspections, and Chelmsford City in the evening, so I should be plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is John O'Connell. Hi, John.
How are you, Mark?
I'm well, thank you. Very well. Yeah. Counting down towards Christmas, and obviously the good racing that comes up over Christmas as well. Are you all set for, well, first of all, for the big day, and then the feast of racing we have afterwards?
Yeah, I thought for a minute the big day was Boxing Day, but of course we've got to get the Christmas day a bit over with before then. But yeah, Boxing Day. Hopefully the weather plays ball, and we've got loads of racing on, and obviously good days racing as well on the 27th, but we'll concentrate for now on the Boxing Days and the King George, always the old big race that might bite. Hot favourite this year, and hot favourite for a very good reason.
Yes, bit of news over the last 24 hours, confirmation really that Sizing John won't take up his engagement in the King George, and that's left Might Bite 5-4 at the top of the betting. Bristol Domain next in the market at 7-2. Thistle Crack, the defending champion, if you like, 6-1. 7-1 for Fox Norton, 12s for Duvan and Whisper, and 16s or bigger for the others. I'm not saying the race is not going to be what we wanted, but it could have been an absolute belter of a King George, and one by one they're slowly falling away. Does that make it Might Bites to lose now?
Probably always has been anyway. I mean, in the case of Sizing John, I don't think that was ever in the reckoning to be a runner after it didn't run at Haydock last month. Yeah. Once the bonus for that horse was not in contention, it was never, I don't think, a feasible target for the horse. Might Bite, it was some performance, or would have been some performance, as a novice this day last year when he fell at the last in the Feltham Chase, when he would have won by half the track on that occasion. But of course he's been really good since then. It's so hard, the race, the key to the race is going to be the ground as regards to Bristol Domain, who we all saw what he'd done at Haydock in the Betfair Chase, and it was brilliant that day. The only trouble is, of course, Haydock can bring those sort of performances, because along with the likes of Utoxeter, Fosslass, Chepstow perhaps, it has ground almost all of its own when the rain gets into it. And really, obviously, good performance as it was by Bristol Domain, clearly none of his rivals acted and coped with conditions, and he simply did. He's a very good horse anyway, but his record in the past, he's hardly a winning machine, is he? Maybe he's just much improved. Mm. But until he does it again, I'd be in the Might Bite camp over him. Unless it's bog-like conditions.
Yeah. If it was at Haydock on heavy ground, you'd probably be the other way around, wouldn't you?
But exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But Might Bite at Kempton, we know how much he likes the track as well. Where does Thistle Crack come into this? Do you think he'll turn up? B, do you think... Well, you can't really back him on the back of his reappearance, can you? Surely.
You can't. I thought it was a really tame effort. And I know that the Tizard's put forward excuses afterwards, saying, well, basically he wasn't as fit as we thought we had him. They've been training long enough. I think they know how to get a horse pretty fit. And I just think I'm in the camp of he hasn't come back. I can't take any positives from that. He won this race last year, and sometimes you can think of a situation, you can think, oh, he's going to go back chasing soon. But 18 months ago, this horse was a fantastic hurdle. He won the World Hurdle, or the Stayers Hurdle, as was, and he was brilliant that day. So he was as good as over fences as he was over hurdles. I just couldn't find a positive from the Newbury run 10 days ago, and he's now got an awful lot to prove. I'd love to see him come back, but I just think he's got too much to prove against two pretty top-notch rivals.
It looks like we might see Whisper head to the King George as well, given that he's been put up £12 for his second in the race that used to be the Hennessy. That guy might force the hand to go to Kempton. And at 12-1, I thought he might be the each way angle in the race.
Yeah, Nicky Henderson is a bit unhappy about that, but given how much the handicap was going to put up the winner and the first two who were always travelling over all the rest of the field, it was clear from a mile from home that those two had it in the between themselves, and they were well clear of the remainder. He was going to get a beefy sort of rise in the weights, and that's just the way it works out. I'm not too sure he may go here. He was originally talking, because unless I missed it, after the race at Newbury, I thought he was talking this next target was going to be the Cotswold Chase at Cheltenham at the end of January, and possibly the Gold Cup from there. I'd be interested, actually, at a bit of a price for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Yeah. I'm not too sure about the King. I probably want bigger than 12-1 to get me tempted myself.
Do you have anything at bigger price than the King George that you think could get?
Well, he's a shorter price than that, but an intriguing runner is Fox Norton, who, if they'd have said this time last week he was definitely going to run, I'd have been pretty interested at 8-1. My slight concern on Saturday, I just thought there was a bit of a lack of oomph from that horse. There wasn't that sort of zip we'd normally seen from him. And I know he was digging into the margin of victory from Politologue, by Politologue rather than the closing stages, but he was never really looking, he was going to rein him in. And for a horse who we saw at the top of his form at Cheltenham just a month ago, I thought that was not a bit of a sluggish performance almost. So hopefully that he'll be back on top form. On his run over 2.5 miles when he won at Aintree back in the spring, you'd think the 3 miles here at Kempton could be fine for the horse. The only trouble is it's going to be a fast run race. They won't be hanging around from the outset, and it's going to be a real proper test of stamina. I think Mike Bite is the likeliest winner. But I think just conditions-wise, I won't be having to bet until nearer the time, just in case, to see what the weather forecast plays and to see if it just really plays into the hands of Bristol.
Mm. Okay, then we've obviously got until the 26th of December to come up with the bets for the King George. A little bit closer to hand, we have action coming up at Cheltenham this weekend. One of the big races there is the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup Handicap Chase. Clanderzerbo now the favourite at 4-1, 6-1 Starkitect, Ballyalton is 8-1 King's Odyssey. Odyssey rather, and Lepresienne, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Apparently Clanderzerbo all the rage at the top of the market as well for a race that Paul Nicholls won last year, of course. He's won it a few times in the past as well. Is he the rightful favourite at this point, do you think?
Yes, he certainly is. You can see why he's been well backed since he's been confirmed as a runner. Won at Haydock, a decent little race a few weeks ago. Done it in good style that day. And the thing is, Mark, for me this is a really ordinary race. It's £120,000 added prize money. There's nearly £70,000 to the winner. I think it was only £25,000 to the winner, you'd get the same sort of runners in this race. And also with the ground as well, there's the race at Cheltenham on Friday. It was covered in snow earlier in the week.
Yeah.
This could be, they're currently, I think they call it good to soft in places. This could be very funny sort of ground, with the snow having been in on the track for about 48 hours. And I think there's a bit of rain as well coming tomorrow. This could be tricky, hard work ground, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if the field cuts up. I'd be surprised from a spread point of view. I think the quote would be 10-11 in the amount of runners, 10 or 11 runners going this race. A few of them won't like the ground. I think a few of them have got other entries and other races, so you're sort of looking at horses who may definitely go. To that end, King's Odyssey is an interesting runner. But when I was looking at the horse King's Odyssey for this race about a week ago, I think it says it all that he's only about an 8-1 chance. It says more about the race, that it's not as hot this year as it normally is, because he hasn't been in brilliant form over the last 12 months. He showed a bit more of Carlisle last time in a race that was run a trip probably too short for him. But if you'd have told me after that Carlisle race he'd be an 8-1 chance the week of this race, my first thought would have been either A, he's won a good race in the interim, which he hasn't, or B, this is going to be an ordinary race for the money, and then I'm afraid it's the latter.
Anything you are looking forward to slightly more at Cheltenham over the weekend, or any, you know, we've got some decent racing over the hurdles. Looks like we're going to see the new one take on Mellon, for example, and stuff like that. So
yeah, a couple of oldies in there. New one 9, My Tent or Yours 10 against the 5-year-old Mellon, who I'm hoping that Willie Mullins will be bringing over. Of course, if he didn't have the horse last week for the Tingle Creek Chase in the end, so hopefully Mel will be coming over. Won well at Doan Royal last month. This is the new one's track, so to speak, and it's a worthy favourite at the moment.
Just reading comments about Willie Mullins' runner. Hoping Mellon has the juice to put the squeeze on Cheltenham rival. So, well written, whoever's done that, but I think the intention is hopefully to come over.
You got every pun in there, juice and squeeze.
Good stuff. We'll leave that there in terms of looking ahead towards the weekend. Any other news that's caught your eye? There was something I wanted to mention. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, Altior.
Yes.
So we may not even see him before the Champion Chase now.
Yeah, that's probably okay, though, because it's probably not the well, it isn't the ideal situation. They obviously want to have a clear run of things, but they haven't got that. I don't have a problem these days, actually, with horses coming back off a break, even with the big days like that. Trainers, I think it's probably started with the likes of Martin Pipe about 30 years ago. Before then, if you're off for a year, you'd virtually rule a horse out. You'd just think, a horse won't win, it'll need the outing. But trainers have upgraded their way of their preparations and their methods, and it's a regular thing now in all sorts of grades of races for trainers to be able to get horses back at the first time of asking. And the horse is so good as well, isn't he? I'm sure the natural ability will still be there. And it's not as if he'd be coming back of a serious leg injury,
no.
which would have been probably more of a problem. So I don't think it's not ideal, but it wouldn't worry me unduly.
Okay. Apparently he's not even been ridden yet, but he is allowed to walk. And if there is to be a race before Cheltenham, it might be the Game Spirit at Newbury, but no guarantees of that. So we'll let you know if we hear anything on the way. Should we leave that there? Should we move on to Thursday's action? Because we've got good racing to look forward to. A Grade 2 on a Thursday doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
And we've got the rescheduled Peterborough Chase at Taunton. It's the 2:45 on their card. Five runners taking part, or set to take part. And we just mentioned Nicky Henderson there with Altior. He's got a strong hand in this, hasn't he? Top Notch and Jossie's Hill, who you'd imagine be the first two in the betting.
Yeah, and Huntington's loss last week is Taunton's gain. And
yes.
Similar sort of track anyway, right-handed, the same sort of circumference, I would have thought. And it's even easier for Top Notch, I would have thought. Then I think he's lost another. He had a bigger rival last Sunday, or would have had a bigger rival than he's got now. It just looks it's impossible to oppose Top Notch, given what we saw at Ascot last month. Just another one of those two shades of green winners that's been running, doing so well over the last month or so. And Daryl Jacob wasn't able to ride that day. I think Nico de Bonneville rode him, didn't he, at Ascot, because Daryl was on Bristol Domay at Haydock. But he was really impressive that day. Jumped very, very well. And on what we've seen from him on that run, and looking at his rivals tomorrow, he is impossible to oppose, because Justice Hill has been underperforming a little bit and was well beaten at Ascot race. Vanator has shown nothing for the last few runs. And the other two, Max Ward and Petit Zig, have got a little bit to prove as well at the moment. So it's Top Notch, it's impossible to oppose on the form book.
I'd forgotten that Vanitaire had gone to David Piper for a moment there. He used to be with Nicky Henderson as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's shown absolutely nothing. He's got the first time blinkers tomorrow, but they will need to transform him on the evidence of the last couple of runs, where I don't think he's actually beaten a rival home, actually. The last couple of runs have been very, very ordinary performances.
So Top Notch, difficult, well, almost impossible to oppose then in the Peterborough Chase. Thankfully, the next race we look at is a little bit more competitive. I mean, that's a good race, good horses to look forward to, but a bit more of a competitive angle in this. 3:15, which is the next race we look at, a handicap chase, Class 3 event over 2.25 miles. We've got 9 of them set to go to post, and this one's going to be more like a 3-1, 7-2 the field kind of race, isn't it? So.
It is, a bit more open. Non-runner is Bishop's Court, apparently, in this race, number 2. So for anyone looking at that, that'll be in the papers in the morning. But Neil Mulholland is still represented by Perfect Timing. Workbench, Dan Skelton runner here, won at Sandown last week, over 2 miles, up a couple of furlongs here. You generally know where you're going to get with Workbench. Pretty solid sort of performer. This will probably take a bit more winning with the £7 penalty he's got for that narrow victory the other day. I'll probably take a chance with number 7, Cour Tantra, from the Anthony Honeyball yard, who has a fair bit of form over hurdles, and just a one run over fences, and that was a fair enough effort last time. Just got beat by a horse called Drumcliff at Wincanton over 2 miles back last month, and a repeat of that may be enough, but certainly, given that was Chase debut for Cortandra, there may be a little bit more to come as well. There's plenty of possible dangers, including the likes of Blandford's Gunner, who chased home no ceiling last time at Doncaster. But I think I'm happy enough to go for Courtantra with the double up.
Okay, Courtantra to win the 3.15 then, in John's opinion. I was going to say over the two, which would be his strongest opinion, but you really can't see past top notch, can you? But
No. Top notch. It's a bit of a pity, because last week at Huntingdon would have been a more competitive race. I think it would probably be about an even money chance. It's going to be much, much shorter than that tomorrow. It just has lost a rival or two from that Huntingdon race. But it's worked out well for connections of top notch. Well, we assume it has anyway. It's got to go and do it tomorrow. But on recent evidence, it should be a penalty kick, as they say.
Well, thank you very much, John. Good luck with our selections, and enjoy the action on Thursday.
Yes, Mark, thanks.
That's the thoughts of John O'Connell then on Thursday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. with Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. It's Taunton, Warwick and Newcastle. Hopefully, those three meetings. Do bear in mind inspections at both Warwick and Newcastle, and evening racing on the all-weather at Chelmsford City as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.